As a business owner, you're always going that extra mile to pursue your passions. So you deserve partners who can help you go further with premium benefits and rewards. The American Express Business Platinum Card offers world-class business and travel benefits so you can get more for your business wherever it takes you. With the Amex Business Platinum Card, you can earn 1.5 times membership rewards points on select business purchases, and you can get complimentary access to more than 1,400 airport lounges worldwide, including the Centurion Lounge, so you can keep running your business while you're on the go. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Terms and points cap apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/Amex Business. In the NFL, as we all know, there is no margin for error. One single mistake can change the outcome of a game or even, yeah, a career. Science proves quality sleep can help boost reaction time, recovery time, and overall athletic performance. Putting it all together, the official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL is Sleep Number, whose mission is to provide players with data and insights to optimize their sleep for the ultimate competitive edge. And you can have it too. I know all about it. I've been around Sleep Number since 2015. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70, just 10 numbers apart, but it is the world of difference. We can set the mattress firmness on each side of the bed to the way that we want and get a great night's sleep. So why choose a Sleep Number smart bed? So you can choose, again, your ideal comfort on either side. And now it's the lowest price of the season on the top-selling i8 smart bed. Your best savings plus special financing. Limited time. Shop a Sleep Number store near you. Sleep Number, official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL. See store or sleepnumber.com for details.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
To the house, Travion Henderson. That one's 66 yards to the end zone.
It's going
to
be about who gets better. Who gets better every single week.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Touchdown, Penn State, Tyler Warren.
Today's guests, Yahoo Sports columnist Dan Wetzel, ESPN NFL analyst Damian Woody, and now, it's Rich Eisen.
That's right. Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. We just spent the first hour chopping up the New Year's Day Bowl results, as well as the New Year's Eve Bowl results with the Penn State Nittany Lions moving on. They were the first team to move on into the national semifinals. They're waiting the Sugar Bowl, which will go down tonight between Notre Dame and Georgia. And while it will be Ohio State versus Texas in the national semifinal game before the national championship on January 20th. So there's going to be a lot of time between now and crowning a champion, a lot of time for, I guess, Ohio State to just cool their jets sitting there in Columbus, Ohio, eager to take apart Texas. And Quinn Ewers, former the Ohio State Buckeye quarterback room participant, and he's now going to try and make sure the Buckeyes don't go any further. A lot of fun to discuss with Dan Wetzel of Yahoo Sports, who's going to join us shortly. Damian Woody of the Worldwide Leader in Sports in hour number three to set the stage for the finale of the NFL regular season. There's just only a couple of playoff spots still up in the air. The seventh seed in the American Football Conference. Will it be Denver? Will it be Miami? Will it be Cincinnati? And then, of course, the only question is who's going to win the NFC South. All we need to see out of Tampa Bay is a home win against the Saints, and they clinch the South, and it won't matter what the Atlanta Falcons do against the Carolina Panthers on Sunday. There's two games on Saturday. There'll be another show for us on Friday. I'll be back in studio there. I'm sitting in Utah for one more day. The family and I are done with our winter break, and I'll be back in studio tomorrow. But joining us right now in his third decade as national sports columnist from Yahoo Sports, Dan Wetzel, back here in the Rich Eisen Show. Happy New Year, Dan.
Happy New Year to you, Rich. Good to see you.
Same here, pal. So I imagine the story of the college football playoffs so far is, I have an idea what it might be, but I never want to put words in your mouth. Your perspective of the first two rounds of the college football playoffs is what?
Ohio State is a absolute wagon that we thought they could be. Was that your choice?
That is that's it. I mean, and that is no doubt the storyline of the college football playoffs so far. And, you know, I was saying before, Dan, to start the show, the text I received more than any other text on New Year's Day, other than, you know, wasn't Happy New Year from those who know me, it's how the hell did your team beat this Ohio State team? You know, like it does put sort of a big question mark on that. But the exclamation point has been Ohio State's performance over the first two rounds of these playoffs, Dan.
Yeah, I after the Michigan game, I said that was the worst coached game I'd ever seen. And most people agree, but there are a few people like, you know, it wasn't like a 42-point spread or something. But considering you built up to Michigan, I just had never seen a game so poorly coached. And in the two games since, it makes me feel better about that statement because this is, you know, this is the team we thought we would see. They remind me right now of Mike Tyson in his prime. They come out of the gate and absolutely swarm you. And they are throwing haymakers. There's no feeling out. There's no jabs. There is just, let's throw it to Smith. Let's throw it to Abuka. Let's run this. We are going downfield, full throttle, all gas, no brakes, boom. And Oregon and Tennessee came out and that was the old line. Everyone's got a plan until they get punched in the mouth. They got punched in the mouth and it's over. You can't, obviously you're not going to have a knockout. You're going to play all 60 minutes, but the games are basically over three possessions in. And that's what Ohio State looks like to me right now. They've always, really since the Nebraska game, had a tremendous defense. And that was, I always thought, hey, they could, if they get the offense figured out, they'll be fine. Even against Michigan, great defensive performance. But that defense is still just as good, if not better. But the offense now is, there's no more, we need to establish the run, or we got to show how tough we are, or we got to do this. It's just, we've got the best players on the field. Get them the ball.
Yeah, exactly right. And so do you think that the staff did do a self-scout after the loss to Michigan and said, what the hell were we doing? Let's screw it. This is the way we should go about it. And Tennessee and Oregon have been the on the business end of that. Do you really think that's what
happened? I don't think they needed to have a self-scout. I think it's pretty obvious they should have said, what were we doing? And I think that Chip Kelly and Ryan Day are offensive coaches. And Ryan Day has built his program in a little different way than Urban Meyer and certainly a different way than Jim Tressel. He has recruited and built a program designed to beat SEC teams in the playoffs and have the athletes and the firepower to do that. Now, the sport has changed because of NIL and the transfer portal, and the best teams are not all in the SEC. But that used to be the case 5 years ago when he was really putting together the program and saying, what are we going to be about? We have to beat LSU. We have to beat Alabama. We have to beat Georgia. We have to beat Clemson. And to do that, we need athletes. Michigan is the thorn in their side because you build a program one way and then you say, oh, this one week we're going to be the toughest team in the world. We're going to be tougher than Michigan. It's really hard to be tougher than Michigan. It's just, they're really, really tough team. And so that doesn't work. And he's too far in his head and all the stuff we've already discussed. But now that he's freed from that, because there ain't no maize and blue in this thing, they're not showing up. And now it's like, hey, we've got these guys. I remember just quickly last year on signing day, sure, Ryan Day is standing at the podium announcing the signees, right? You get to talk about each kid. And, oh, you know, he's going to be great. We got this linebacker and all that. And Jeremiah Smith had not, his paperwork hadn't come in until the middle of the press conference. And so per NCAA rules, you couldn't talk about him until it comes in. And there was a little bit of like rumors. Hey, could he stay at Miami? Could flip him at the last second or Florida State? It was a little tense. And Ryan Day's at the press conference and he gets word that Smith has signed. The paperwork is in and he can now talk about him. And he did this little like bent his knees and like did this like fake, like faint almost, and like this huge exhale. It was kind of funny at the time, but as you watch this kid play, you can see that it wasn't a joke. It was like, oh my God, we're going to be fine. Like, yeah, because as good as the other guys are, he's unbelievable. He's uncoverable. And so you watch and you go, bang, this is that team they've got right now.
And the other guys aren't just his current teammates. I think you can throw Marvin Harrison Jr. and Garrett Wilson, yeah, and Smith, Chris and Olave, and JSN in there. Like you could you could really throw those guys in there, and that's how much of a difference maker this kid is. And he is the one you made the terrific analogy of Tyson in his prime. He's the haymaker. He's the guy with the brass knuckles. That guy.
He's the haymaker. Kid. And it, what was the, you know, with Tyson, what was so exciting was obviously he could knock you out at any moment, but it was also, he'd just show up. He wouldn't even like have a robe on, right? He'd just walk out there and the first punch would be a left hook to try to knock the guy's head into the third row. You're like, what is, this isn't like boxing. They're supposed to feel each other out. No, no feeling out. Oh no, we're going right to you. They know the cornerback's nervous. The cornerback wants to settle in. No, we're not letting anyone settle in. We're going right at you with the best player. And there's no getting – it's the same thing in basketball. Get the other teammates involved, right? LeBron, Steph, you control the fourth quarter, but look at the other guys involved. They're like, nope, we're going to get up, and we're going to show you we have something you can't – you're not going to do anything with this guy. And then you got to cover 2.5 dudes over there, and then we'll go to our other array of talent, or we'll run the ball really well. And then you've got this defense. I mean, Caleb Downs, Jack Sawyer, these guys are terrific. So right now, this team is the team to beat. It isn't even close. It's kind of funny. Ryan Day came in with the expectation of how, hey, I got to keep my job. And now he's won 2 games, and now it's switched all the way to, well, you better win the national title. Like the pendulum swings on this poor guy. Yes, Dan, he comes in with no confidence. Now he's like, oh no, everyone thinks I got to win it. But hey, I'd rather play with that deck of cards than anyone else.
No doubt. Champagne problem there. I've got Dan Wetzel of Yahoo Sports here on the Rich Eisen Show. Texas is next up for the Ohio State juggernaut. Quinn Ewers came from the Ohio State program. Fascinating matchup on paper. The question is, do you feel that Texas has what it would take to slow down Ohio State and maybe make it not their day again?
Probably not, but I want to see it. They do have a very good defensive line. And can they get pressure on Will Howard? You know, can they disrupt the offense that way? Texas, to me, has a million good players. They have so many good players. They are good all over the field. I don't know how great they are in certain places, and that includes Ewers. Ewers has moments where you're just like, that's not it. And then you have the 4th and 13 against Arizona State. Whole season on the line, his legacy on the line, everything on the line. They're about to lose to the Sun Devils, and he recognizes and reads the blitz. He switches. If you rewatch that play, they'll show the highlight all day. He switches his offensive lineman to make the right pass blocking, and then he looks off the safety and he drops a perfect pass to win the game, save the game. And you look at that and you go, that's an NFL player right there. In every single way. And then you watch the other things and you go, man, maybe they should be playing Arch Manning. And that's why Steve Sarkisian plays Quinn Ewers. He checked out of a play into a run against Clemson that was a critical play. He does certain things. But there's also, look, this isn't a team that you think, hey, they're going to put 49 points up and win a shootout against Ohio State. I don't know if they have that. So their defensive line has to come up big. If you can do that, and that was something that Michigan did on their own right. It wasn't all Ohio State playing terribly. That Michigan defensive line was tremendous, and it stopped the running attack and did some things. That's what I got to see. But if Ohio State is at all cylinders, they're going to be fine. If Texas can be Buster Douglas, who ironic or coincidentally is from Columbus, Ohio, then they're going to have to play a whale of a game.
Well, I mean, you mentioned how many good players Texas has. You could make a case one of their best players is standing on the sideline. I mean, throw an Arch in this mix, too, to just – I know you got 2 quarterbacks. You don't have any. And yeah, I know behind the scenes, Quinn Ewers is getting advice from some people in NFL ranks to say maybe you should stay in college, and thus he would know he'd have to get in the transfer portal because Texas is going to move to Arch next year. And I know that that's a lot of stuff playing behind the scenes, but – uncorking Arch on Ohio State, you know, where you can't game plan for it, or you do your best until you can see him. Maybe that would be an interesting semifinal twist. What do you think, Dan?
They have used him for his legs. He's a terrific runner. And if you haven't watched that, he's played some games. You would not believe that he's Peyton and Eli's nephew.
Yes.
A Manning wheels on the Manning, but Cooper was a college receiver until he got hurt.
There you
and
go.
Then and he arch credits his mother for his athleticism. So it's very funny. But they did not use him against Arizona State. And so it's an interesting, and then you have this really interesting dynamic. You have a guy in Quinn Ewers who's now led Texas to a 4-team playoff last year and the Final Four this year. And they won the Big 12. They made the SEC championship game. By all accounts, incredibly successful college career. And probably about 60% of the fan base and 100% of the 99% of the reality is, yeah, you need to hit the transfer portal or play so well in these last two games that the NFL says, yeah, we'll take you. He doesn't really, may not have a future in Austin. Very unusual situation because he's been extremely successful as a Texas quarterback and he's got that hanging over his head, yet doesn't seem like it affects him. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't, but they're still winning. That game against Arizona State was incredible. So dramatic. And it's survive in advance. Doesn't matter how you look, you're there. You got your chance against Ohio State. Game's going to be in Arlington, Texas. Texas doesn't back down from anyone. Like I said, they have really, really good players at every position on the field. I've watched them twice live this year, and they're just a really good football team. Can they don't have that elite talent that Ohio State does. Will that be the difference?
Dan Wetzel, a few minutes left with the national columnist for Yahoo Sports right here on the Rich Eisen Show. The three teams remaining on the other side of the bracket, the team with the best chance to make the finals, Penn State, Georgia, Notre Dame, where would you put your marker there, Dan?
I hate to do this. I got to see what happens today.
Got it.
How is Gunnar Stockton as a quarterback for Georgia? I mean, kids never started a game. He was okay in that SEC championship game. He's coming in for Carson Beck, but we have seen backups do really well in college football. It's not like Georgia has, they don't recruit bad players, right? People are like, oh, the backup, they think it's like a high school. It's a, you know, socks are falling down or something. Like he's a good player. So I got to see that, or I got to see what Notre Dame's offensive line handles Georgia. And so that would be, you know, what we go there. Penn State's really solid, and we very well could end up with a rematch of Penn State, Ohio State in the national title game. If Drew Aller is not making mistakes, that team absolutely can beat either Georgia or Notre Dame. That side of the bracket will be very, very interesting. That semifinal. I like this Penn State team, and it would be very interesting if we just end up with an all Big Ten final.
Yeah, Tyler Warren's, he's the real deal, man. Like he's going to be an absolute beast in the next level. A beast.
That touchdown catch he had was, so I really, all respect, both the Boise and Arizona State. Like at the beginning of those games, it looked like they were going to lose 50-0. They got jumped. Say to Oregon. Oregon couldn't come back. Boise made it a game. They made it competitive. They were the lesser team, but they had a chance to pull an upset. And there was that one play where Aller hit Warren in the back of the end zone, and it was NFL quarterback to NFL tight end. And the Boise State player did everything he could, and it's just one of those, hey, what are you going to do? They've got these guys, we don't. And that was really, I think, what, other than a penalty or two here or there, that was the critical play of the game that kept Boise State from kind of being in it right at the end and maybe forcing something. So if they play their game, they got a nice running attack. They got some momentum. You see how happy those guys were after they've won. They are having a good time. This playoff was built for teams like Penn State that might not have qualified or didn't qualify for a 4-team playoff or a 2-team BCS, but you give them a chance, you get them rolling. They got two wins under their belt. They got a lot of confidence, and I think they're going to feel really good going into this semifinal.
Well, then, before I let you go, Dan Wetzel, how did the first few games hit the College Football Playoff Committee? The first round games were total blowouts, absolute blowouts. And, you know, Oregon fans today are, lamenting. Obviously, you know, if they weren't nearly in the same realm as the Ohio State, they would eventually have to face them or somebody who has knocked them off and have a similar problem. But they're not happy that they had to face Ohio State at a neutral site in their first game. And there's already folks saying maybe the teams with bye weeks should get a home date themselves, that it would make things more competitive. Would certainly maybe you come up with an idea where the bye week teams don't have to be conference champions, that you actually rank them. Notre Dame could get away with being an independent team and still having a bye week, that sort of thing. How do you think the first, I guess now, seven games of the college football playoffs has hit the college football playoff committee, Dan?
I throw Tennessee in there too as getting kind of unfairly seeded because of the way this thing worked out. That Tennessee team, I'm sure they're sitting there going, "See, we weren't that bad. Look what happened to Oregon too." Ohio State is just Ohio State. I think the obvious things are, and then they can probably get rid of is the seeding. It's not that Boise State. And certainly Arizona State was properly seeded. Arizona State was fine. They lost a double overtime to the 5 seed. So it's not like there was a big problem there. Boise State was a good team. I thought they put a very good effort. And I think they should be really proud of how they did and how they atoned for themselves. But were they really the 3 seed? No. So getting rid of that four, those spots in the conference championship. And this playoff system was created when there were 6 leagues, or 5 power leagues. And so you were looking at it like, well, there's the Pac-12 still existed and we'll get a really good team. And the Big 12 hadn't switched out. So if you looked at it normally when they designed this, the top 4 seeds by conference champion, if you went back to the old conferences, would have been Oregon as a Pac-12, Ohio State or Penn State, whatever, Penn State as the Big 10, one of those two. And then Texas would have been a Big 12 team. And then you'd have Georgia. So it would have worked out a little bit better. But getting rid of that home field, maybe they get a home game in the first round, like they can be 7-8 or something. And then I think they have to go to quarterfinal home games. You saw the tickets. It's a softer ticket market. You're asking a lot of fans. If Ohio State is in Eugene, is that a different thing? You got to reward the regular season. You got to make the regular season matter. That's what they talk about all the time. Regular season, best regular season football. And then Oregon goes out and goes 13-0 and they get nothing for it. They got a bye, but they also had to play an extra game that Ohio State didn't. So they've played the equal amount of games. So they got absolutely nothing for this except a neutral site game against Ohio State. So there's a couple quick fixes. Now the Bulls are going to fight like hell to say, no, we don't want to give up the quarterfinals. But to me, the first round and the quarterfinals absolutely should be on campus, for a variety of reasons. And those are a lot easier to fix than, some other stuff. I'll tell you what I have not seen. We need to expand and get more teams in. I haven't seen that. That hadn't been the issue. We got enough teams. Like there's probably 6 to 7 teams that could have really advanced in this tournament, and that's fine. And then the other ones kind of sort themselves out. So we're good with 12.
Last one for you, Dan Wetzel. I appreciate the time you've already given. I believe it's the only time I've ever asked another human being this question, and I don't know how often you've been asked it, but here it goes. What happened in the Cheez-It Bowl, Dan? What happened in the Cheez-It Bowl?
Oh, it was fantastic. A Cheez-It Bowl near coach fight.
Being held back on Brett Bielema. Happened here?
Dude, when you're playing for Cheez-Its, sometimes you got to throw down. Sometimes someone's got to get hit. It's just the way it is. You got to walk in knuckles up, you know? So what happened was, if you watch a lot of football, you know when they kick the ball in the end zone, they do this bar T, they call it. But the guy basically extends out his arms like an airplane. And it's a signal to the coverage team that we're not going to return the ball. It's not officially a fair catch because you don't have to fair catch in the end zone or the ball's going to go over. It's a courtesy. South Carolina did the bar T, but then caught the ball and then threw a lateral and tried a fake play. And Brett Bielema, the Illinois coach, got fired up that the ethics of the bar T had been violated. Mm. Mm. And so he goes over during a injury timeout and mocks Shane Beamer thought it mocked him by doing the bar T in front of the Illinois sideline. Brett said, I was mocking everybody. So he was ready to fight them all. But Beamer got upset. He was he was going after him. That said, did you like if you at the tail of the tape here? I'm not sure you really want any part of that.
He cheesed it. He cheesed it at the very end. Brett, that's what he did.
Brett B didn't look too concerned, and that's no shame on B. You need to be a very big man to make Brett Bielema a little concerned about a fight. So we had a dust up in the Cheez-It Bowl. That's what we want. We want our Cheez-It Bowls fought with this kind of. Let's get a power slap table out there. Let's set up an octagon. Whatever we got to do.
Let's go.
Whatever we got to do.
Let's do it.
Power slap. We got a power slap fan here.
Oh, yeah. Well, Brockman loves the power slap. Certainly when you can combine Cheez-Its in it. Oh, we lost Dan. It's all good. Okay, there we go. I guess did we run out of time with him? He cheesed it at the very end.
Power slap out.
Okay, there he goes. Normally, as you know, I have...
Well, you're gonna have to call Dan.
Goodbye. I'm gonna have to call him and say the goodbye right there. Yeah, say the goodbye. fun stuff right there with Dan Wetzel. Lots to chew on. Before we take a break, just want to let you know that nothing feels as good as driving a new Hyundai. And now you can get a great deal on your favorite model at the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Make your next getaway your best one yet. Visit HyundaiUSA.com today. Drive away now in one of our most popular models with 0% APR and zero payments for 90 days only during the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Offer ends January 2nd. Call 562-314-4603 for details. We'll take a break, come back, unpack a little bit of what Dan just said, and give you my power rankings heading into the final week of the NFL season. As a business owner, you're always going that extra mile to pursue your passions. So you deserve partners who can help you go further with premium benefits and rewards. The American Express Business Platinum Card offers world-class business and travel benefits so you can get more for your business wherever it takes you. With the Amex Business Platinum Card, you can earn 1.5 times membership rewards points on select business purchases. And you can get complimentary access to more than 1,400 airport lounges worldwide, including the Centurion Lounge. So you can keep running your business while you're on the go. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Terms and points cap apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/AmexBusiness. In the NFL, as we all know, there is no margin for error. One single mistake can change the outcome of a game or even, a career. Science proves quality sleep can help boost reaction time, recovery time, and overall athletic performance. Putting it all together, the official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL is Sleep Number, whose mission is to provide players with data and insights to optimize their sleep for the ultimate competitive edge. And you can have it too. I know all about it. I've been around Sleep Number since 2015. My sleep number setting is 60. My wife's is 70, just 10 numbers apart, but it is the world of difference. We can set the mattress firmness on each side of the bed to the way that we want and get a great night's sleep. So why choose a Sleep Number smart bed? So you can choose, again, your ideal comfort on either side. And now it's the lowest price of the season on the top-selling i8 smart bed. Your best savings plus special financing. Limited time. Shop a Sleep Number store near you. Sleep Number, official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL. See store or sleepnumber.com for details.
Bravo TV star Lala Kent holds nothing back on the Give Them Lala podcast.
No, I have a very short fuse.
Get to know the TV personality.
I don't need to watch the show because I get the real life version.
From relationships and motherhood.
Let me tell you something about breastfeeding.
To business and beyond.
You are scared of failure, so it prevents you
from trying.
This is where we implement a big set of ovaries. And then we obsess.
Follow and listen on your favorite platform.
Real quick, do you want to ask a Method Man before he goes your question that you ask everybody about my hometown?
No. I give you grief. Okay, look, now when people say, hey, I'm going to visit New York City,
right. They
don't mean visit Staten Island. So do you think Staten Island is really part of New York City?
You know what? I just went through this with somebody. I definitely went through this with somebody on Twitter, and they were like, you know, that's not even really New York. We're one of the five boroughs, okay? See,
it's not a vacation destination of New York City. No one's going to Staten Island, you know what I'm saying?
But if you check For one, Staten Island is the highest point on the Eastern Seaboard.
True.
First of all.
Okay.
And Tony, second, we have the most. Well, let's put it this way. Date night, Staten Island is tops to go for date night because we have the most restaurants in New York City.
That's right.
Holler at your boy. Yeah.
Yes. It's about food and love. Food Staten love. Island.
Oh, and football, because Curtis Warriors won the whole thing last year. Okay, 12-0. Went to the big one.
That's right.
Won that game at Yankee Stadium.
Brought the title home to New York City.
Yes.
I stand corrected.
And I won my fantasy football yesterday.
Oh, really?
A lot.
Congratulations. What's the name of your fantasy football team?
Supreme Clientele.
Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty
cool. Supreme Clientele took it down.
Oh.
By the way, that whole Staten Island chat could not have gone any better than the way I
hoped.
Oh, Method Man only knew my prom date vomited off the side of the Staten Island ferry. So we got to get him back. It's been
a while. That's my man right there.
That's my man right there. YouTube.com/Rich Eisen Show for our full 10-plus year archive on our channel. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Listen, before we get to my power rankings, the statement or take by Dan Wetzel, Yahoo national sports columnist who has been covering college football forever and a day, saying that the quarterfinal games, meaning the games that we're just seeing now, and the final four quarterfinal games is tonight in New Orleans in the Sugar Bowl, that those games should not be at neutral sites. They should be at the homes of the one seed, two seed, three seed, four seed, the four teams that get a bye. I fully believe it. I think that is the way to go to try and make these games more, shall we say, competitive. If it wasn't for Cam Scataboo and a couple of those other Arizona State Sun Devils coming up big in the final throws in Atlanta of the Peach Bowl, we would be saying, why don't we just go back to four teams? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Just go back to the way it was. Am I wrong? Or
no,
I don't think that would be an overreaction either.
No, not at all. Not at all. These games have been, look, it's been cool. It's been an event. It's been fun for something to look forward to watch. And, you know, you're getting these matchups that haven't ever really happened before or don't happen very often. And the games have just been brutal. Over kind of after the first quarter or right away. I mean, it's been tough, but, you know, hopefully, you know, that game was great. It ended up being awesome after looked like it was going to be a blowout, you know, 24-8. And hopefully today's game is a classic as well. But, man, I don't know what the fix is. I do like the idea of the home games. I think that would be a nice change.
They should get a home game. Like, hey, listen, you get a week off. The other team gets a home game to start, but they have to play. You know, but to be honest with you, it's not like the NFL playoffs. I mean, Ohio State, before they took on Tennessee in the middle of December, their last game was November 30th. So they basically got a bye week anyway going into their home date. So the extra bye, what does that mean? It's just you get another week off. So it's 3 weeks off. You can actually get rusty in that regard. So you might as well try and reward the teams that have a week off with also a home game, just like the NFL does it. You know, it's not like the Chiefs get the week off and now suddenly have to play a neutral site game against, name it, you know, the Steelers or the Chargers, right? Or you know, the Bengals. Could you imagine? That's just not the way it should be. That there should be not just the bye week, you get a game at home. I imagine it would have been different if Penn State was on the blue turf, right? Would have been different maybe had Ohio State had to go to Oregon again.
Yeah, I know. And everyone's been saying, hey, well, every league has blowouts in the playoffs. And I guess that's sort of true. I'm just looking at last year's NFL playoffs. You know, in the first round, Tampa blew out Philly 32-9. Kansas City blew out Miami, I guess a blowout, 26-7 and Houston smoked Cleveland 45-14. So
they were non-competitive. I agree.
That's three out of the six games. That's half. And even Buffalo beat Pittsburgh by two scores. You know, because you can make an argument most of those first round games were not competitive either.
But his point was well taken, that when this 12-team playoff concept was born, Texas was in the Big 12. There was a Pac-12.
True.
And so the four bye week teams would have been Oregon as a Pac-12 representative, either Ohio State or Penn State as the Big 10 representative. Or I guess back in that day, it would have been Penn State would have been, because Penn State would have gone to the Big 10 championship game against whoever won the Western Division, which, you know, wouldn't have been able to hold a candle to Penn State in that game.
Also, Oregon would have played a completely different schedule.
True. No, but just for the purposes of this, he would have said Texas, Penn State or Ohio State, Oregon would have been three, and Georgia would have been your four seeds to move through as the bye week teams, and thus that might have been more of a competitive matchup with whoever, you know, graduated from the first round games. And that's why. But your point there of saying, you know, there's blowouts in so many other sports, I think would have absolutely, or is going to mean that the college football playoff committee is going to do nothing.
Right.
They won't do a thing. Certainly because they're not going to want to have any sort of, Dan Wetzel made the point that the bowls will not like it because you've got the sugar and the peach and the cotton and you've got the Rose Bowl, just to name four of them. You know, there's the Orange Bowl as well. Who's going to, you know, one of those is going to be on the outside looking in, not getting even a semifinal game. And the Rose Bowl should always be involved. I'm biased, but there's nothing like that.
I agree.
Joel Klatt's already out there on Twitter saying that should be the national championship game site every year. Obviously, I'd be for that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, sure. Sign me up. But if you've been to a game there, you understand. The pageantry, the atmosphere, it doesn't get any better than that, man.
What does the Penn State fan on this panel think of this conversation?
What you said about the Rose Bowl is what I'm thinking of, because perfect. You always talk about football weather, right, Chris? What's the perfect weather? You can't get much perfect.
65 and sunny.
Pasadena in early January. Mm-hmm. Like, let's just do that. Let's have it happen. Yeah. It doesn't matter. Nittany Lions, we go anywhere. We'll play anybody. We're winning this thing.
Oh, good. We are. Hashtag this guy.
Don't matter.
Okay.
Send us to Mars. Send us to the Iceland, Greenland, any land.
All right, TJ.
This land is your land. This land is my land. It don't matter. Nittany Lions by six.
It's marvelous.
Speaking of that, the unexpected can happen anytime. You need to think about things like life insurance in advance, and Ethos makes it easy as 1, 2, 3. Just choose your coverage, apply in minutes, and get covered in real time with no medical exam. Just answer a few simple health questions, and you're on your way with up to $2 million of term life protection, with policies starting as low as $2 a day. Ethos is approving over 2,000 families a day for life insurance protection, all online and hassle-free. Get your free quote at tryethos.com. That's tryethos.com. All right, gents, we didn't do this last week because, you know, Christmas fell on a Wednesday. We were dark. We were off the whole week.
Okay.
It's time for my power rankings after
Rich.
A one-week hiatus.
Come on now, let's go.
Go ahead and hit it. Hit it. Hit it.
This is my
power rankings.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's Power Rankings. I want to need my music. Here we go. I start with, here's the thing. Next week's Power Rankings as well, we're just going to only have 14 teams left. So you've got teams that are on the outside looking and sniffing it, and then you've got teams that already have clinched playoff spots that aren't even going to be in my top 10 Power Rankings lists here entering week's 18, the finale of the terrific National Football League season. Number 10 on this list are the Washington Commanders. 11 wins for the first time since 1991. They got Jonathan Allen back on defense. They're getting healthier. Austin Eckler is now back for this offense that has Jaden Daniels absolutely cooking with gas. He is going to try and get the sixth seed right here to go and maybe visit Los Angeles for a fantastic Super Wild Card Weekend opening matchup with the Rams. The Washington Commanders are in the playoffs as an 11-win team, and they are getting better each and every week. That big win against the Eagles, followed up with what they did against the Atlanta Falcons on Sunday Night Football, puts them in my top 10. Number 9 on this list, I am putting the soon-to-be NFC South champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers on this list at number 9.
Wow.
I know you always, every single time I mention the Buccaneers are a top 10 team, you always have a problem with this. That guy on the screen would push back on it. They got Mike Evans getting ready for a 1,000-yard season. Our friend Bucky Irving is part of a terrific running back room. Defensively, they've got players on every level. They've got it going, man. And just because they're in the NFC South with just 9 wins, I think they're going to wind up with 10 wins, and I think they are going to be a team that has a clear shot to make it to the final four of their conference once again. Ooh. I put them number 9 on my list and just hold all applause to the end. All right, number 8. I'm putting the NFC West champion Los Angeles Rams right here. They've won 5 in a row. They've got some momentum going. They've won all of those 5 games. They've won in various manners of victory. A boat race 44-42 game, a track meet game against the Buffalo Bills. They might be the last team to beat the Buffalo Bills all year long. Who knows? And then the last 3 games defensively. It's amazing how they put up 44 against the Bills and gave up 42 against the Bills. And then since then, they've won 12-6, 19-9, and 13-9. They're winning games on the defensive side of the ball. They're putting it all together, and we'll see how they do going into the playoffs. They're number 8 on my power rankings list. Number 7 on the power rankings list. I understand that they just lost a game, and I understand that they keep proving that they're not winning games against the top competition in their conference, but I'm still putting the Green Bay Packers as a top 7 team on this list. I'm putting Green Bay right there despite having just lost in Minnesota. They're 11-5. I love Josh Jacobs. I love their defense playing the way that they're playing. Jair Alexander being out now for the rest of the season is concerning. But I'm putting the Green Bay Packers here at 7. I might still be living in the past a little bit from last year's finish, but I'm putting them right there. Number 6, to round out the bottom 5, the Baltimore Ravens, also at 11-5. They're number 6 right there on my power rankings list, with Lamar being an MVP. Zay Flowers is now a Pro Bowler. Defensively, they've tightened the bolts a little bit. They've got Derrick Henry running downhill, about to turn 31 years of age on you. They've got it all working, and I still think they're one of the top teams in the National Football League, despite some pushback I might be getting. Number 6, the Ravens. Now to the top 5. Okay.
It's going to be tough.
I know they've got 14 wins.
Oh, man.
I know they've got 14 wins, and I know I've been talking about them all year long, but I'm putting the Detroit Lions here at 5.
Wow.
I know.
Wow.
I know I'm going to get a lot of Honolulu Blue pushback here.
Oh.
But I'm still nervous about their defense. And I know they just came up with 2 Kirby Joseph interceptions, man. I get it.
I know. That's fair, though.
I'm just nervous for, you know, what happens when rubber meets road in the playoffs. And it's entirely possible they wind up on the road and they're going to have to put their perfect road record to good use when it all comes down to it. I don't know how it's going to all turn out. I still am not going to jump off that bandwagon that they're Super Bowl champs. NFC champs going to the Super Bowl. But at this point in time, I just got to use my own 2 eyes and be realistic about it. They're 5. Number 4 on this list are the Philadelphia Eagles. And the only reason why I'm putting them this low is I would have popped them this low had I done the power rankings last week, having lost to the Washington Commanders. What an impressive win that was against the Dallas Cowboys. I understand the Cowboys didn't have CeeDee Lamb. They don't have Dak. They don't have this. They don't have that. They had their third-string quarterback throw 2 touchdowns on them after they won a game. Essentially, it was already salted away with Kenny Pickett, their backup, having won it. They're number 4 on the list, playing a superb football on both sides. I'm putting the Buffalo Bills at number 3, and I know this is going to piss off Bills Mafia, that I'm putting the Bills below the Kansas City Chiefs right here. But the Chiefs are number 2. I'm popping the Chiefs up right now because the way that they are playing is off the charts. I've got a 320-yard and 3-touchdown performance from Patrick Mahomes and an 8-catch, 84-yard performance with a touchdown from Travis Kelce on a Christmas Day. They went 3-0 in those three games in 11 days. Defensively, they just punked the Steelers without Chris Jones. They are playing at the top of their game going into this playoff season, in which they will absolutely have the road to the AFC playoffs go through Arrowhead. But I'm finally doing it, Chris.
Wow.
I'm finally putting the Minnesota Vikings atop my power rankings right now. They are playing sky high. They have a 10-game win streak right now. They went from 5-0 to 5-2. Pardon me, a 9-game win streak right now. They're trying to win their 10th in a row. And right now, they've got the better unit functioning on both sides of the ball consistently over the past 2 months than any other team that I've just mentioned in the power rankings. So the Minnesota Vikings, for the first time since I think, what, like week 4 or week 5 when they were 5-0, are topping my power rankings list, and the Steelers have dropped out, and I still just couldn't put the Chargers on there. We'll see if they can make me eat crow. But basically, that's my power rankings list entering week 18. Vikings atop, Chiefs, Bills, Eagles, Lions, Ravens, Packers, Rams, Buccaneers, and Commanders. That's my power rankings list. Gents?
Thought the Lions were
low. No applause at the end? Thought the Lions were low?
I actually like it. You got, these are the 10 best teams. I think you're, I might have had Green Bay. Green Bay might have been 10. Washington ahead of Tampa. Washington ahead of Tampa, maybe. And I would have put the Chiefs number one. I'm just saying.
What? Oh, really? You wouldn't know. He's trying to turn down the heat. He's trying to turn down the heat.
15-1, and they're. I can say they're not the best team in the league.
Well, I've been trying to tell you that for 17 weeks now, and you won't.
Ladies and gentlemen, Chris Brockman trying to turn down the heat. Well, when we come back, we'll talk New England Patriots football, because that's what helped turn the heat up on Chris the last time we talked about the Chiefs and the Patriots together. One's dynastic. The other one is trying to win football games instead of the first overall pick. That's
Welcome to the Jungle, clones. It's the Jim Rome Show podcast.
The greatest and loyal fan base ever. You, the clones. It all starts with the Jungle. We're in it to win it, and I'm in it to go as hard as I possibly can every day to make sure that you clones get the best possible product every single day. Day one, all in, let's freaking go.
The Jim Rome Show. Follow and listen on your favorite platform.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
Bagel, everybody says weird. It is ruined my proposal story.
How Jason proposed, and she was like, he brought in a bunch of bagels. I was like, I have to stop you. I will punch you in the throat if you ever tell this story again and call it a bagel.
Let me tell you, now when I tell the story, I go, he went and got breakfast.
There you go.
Bagels.
Yeah.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.
Got a text during the commercial break, guys. I think we were able to turn this around. I believe is a friend of our program that won't let go of this bone. It's Carl Anthony Towns, guys.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, yeah.
Cat is balling. Did you see the stat last night? He's like, that's his fourth 30-20 game of the year, which is something that hasn't been done since Patrick Ewing, like 30 years ago.
Yeah, my fantasy team, 30-ing the Cats.
He is balling.
30-ing the Cats. They're crushing Cooper right now. Poor Coop.
I don't feel good about that, by the way.
That's okay. It's all right. Mm-hmm. Listen, you're like Kramer in the dojo with the 13-year-olds. You're just taking it over now.
Do what I got to do, man.
All right, hit it. This is what Carl Anthony Towns caught his eye on the old X machine. Yes. This fan in Philadelphia during the Cowboys game. What does a Cowboy fan do after winning the Super Bowl? Turn the Xbox off.
That's the exact reason why the Eagles ain't winning nothing this year. I'm putting a heebie-jeebie on them.
That is so good.
The Eagles ain't winning nothing. They should have got that rushing record.
I love Cat.
Because that's the only thing they're going to win this year.
Cat is a man.
God, he's so good.
So after dropping 30-20, he's just thinking. He's thinking about what's next for TJ.
Man, what are the Knicks? Something's coming. When are we gonna see Cat
in
again?
Spring. March.
They're in the spring in March.
Oh man. We gotta get Cat back in here, man. What a legend.
We need Cat in the studio.
Who knew? He's going to be like our favorite player.
Yeah. Turn the Xbox off has been called.
I mean,
that's a good sign.
That's so good.
From a franchise with one Super Bowl win, they do a lot of yapping.
Eagles fans are inventive. That is for sure. No doubt about it. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, everybody. All right, Chris, you wanted Drake May Sat and Jacoby Brissett starting for the final game of the regular season against the Buffalo Bills. Because why do you want Drake May maybe rehabbing something in the offseason? You need him being healthy, and then you need to get that first overall pick. Yep. So you can either trade that pick for a whole King's ransom to get a whole bunch of players in there to make Drake May better, make the Patriots better, because they don't need a quarterback. They could move down and maybe get Travis Hunter and picks. And that is the ideal for you, right? Like that is your. Well, guess who's starting against the Buffalo Bills on Sunday?
Drake?
Don't tell me.
It's Drake May.
Drake Maye.
Yeah. Let's hear from your coach about the thought process. Hit it.
He's a winner. He's a competitor. He wants to play. And look, he's still developing, so he'll be ready to go.
So if he wants to play, will he start?
Drake is our starting quarterback. If he's healthy and ready to go as we go through this week of practice, then he'll play.
Why wouldn't he play? This is exactly. Insane. Come on, Chris. That's insane.
I don't know why you're asking. By the way, could you imagine anybody ever asking Bill Belichick, if the player wants to play, will you play him?
Right.
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Those are questions that would never have been asked the New England coach in the last 25 years, you know, which is the whole point here. Is that Bill's gone? The media doesn't know what to do with itself. Bill's gone. They're asking questions they never would have gotten away with.
Right.
And what's the coach supposed to say? No, here's what we're going to do. We're going to tank. Everybody's talking about my hot seat around here. I'm going to tell all these grown ass men in the room, yeah, your jobs are safe. Don't worry about it. We're just going to sit Drake May.
Yeah. Everybody else, you know, go out there and play.
They're not going to tank, Chris.
Everybody in New England is playing for their job, literally, except Drake May. Like him and Christian Gonzalez, who is recovering from a concussion. I don't know if he's cleared protocol. Those are the only two guys that are safe. Like everyone else, they can do whatever you want. Those two guys should not be playing until next year. What are we doing?
I guess the cautionary tale
so
is
dumb.
Look at the Giants right now, right? The Giants are going into Philadelphia. All they got to do last week is just lose. You know, all they had to do was last week was lose with Drew Locke, right, against the Colts. And instead, they won a game that, you know, if Shedeur Sanders winds up in Tennessee or Cleveland or somebody jumps the line and takes Shedeur and then Cam Ward's gone, and then what do? They're sitting there, what, at fourth overall? Maybe they get Travis Hunter, put him in New York City, have him start playing both sides of the ball. No, Chris, all you got to do is just lose one more game and you got that first overall pick. But if the Titans lose to the Texans, which is entirely possible, and you guys win with Drake May, Tennessee's in the catbird seat, man.
Tennessee.
And I would imagine Will Levis would be history, wouldn't
Tennessee,
you?
That
happens? He's gone no matter what. I mean, even if the Titans are the second pick, they're taking a quarterback, right?
No, I think, well, obviously they hold on to him. He could be a good backup.
I guess so.
If that's what you think he's going to be in the league, then you got him under contract for 2 years. There's no reason to get rid of him.
I saw somebody, people were throwing out takes for next year already. Someone said Kirk Cousins to Cleveland. Did you see that?
Good
bouncing
Lord.
Around yesterday?
Why? Because it's the Stefanski thing. He's the Minnesota guy, and Kirk was the Minnesota guy, and he can't move right now.
I know.
Why would you want? Good Lord. They're already overpaying somebody in Cleveland who can't move around like he used to. Are you going to get, you start collecting like snow globes? Is that what you're doing?
Like lawn deers?
Just to shake it up to get some action? Like a snow globe. That's what you're doing? It's like a menagerie of quarterbacks who are overpaid and who can't move like they used to anymore.
The top of this draft is going to be so interesting. Yeah.
We're assuming that that's the order because it wasn't the week before. The week before, remember when Deion came on and I asked him about, you know, a plan for his son? He's just like, yeah, Giants or Raiders. Raiders have won twice since then.
Right.
They're
Raiders are out.
They're down at eight.
Long gone.
They're down at eight.
Yeah, long gone.
You know? So.
Guys don't want to tank.
No one's tanking.
Look, if the Pats get it, stick at number one, no one wants to make a deal, fine. Take Travis Hunter and move on. But
Well, at some point, Drake May's going to have to outscore Mitch Trubisky, pal, because you know what the Bills are going to do. You know the Bills are going to just throw Josh Allen out there for a couple of, right? They'll throw him out there for a couple drives.
Right.
Because they're just nutty enough to do something like that. He just keeps himself healthy. He can protect himself.
Well, it's not like the Pats have enough firepower to come back from two scores down. So, I mean, if Josh Allen scores on both drives, we're good to go.
I don't know, man. I don't know. Just it could be the... There's your guy. There's your guy.
I do.
Deep
love
down,
him.
He knows what would be best for me is to lose today.
That is what's best for him.
He's too young to know that. Look at him, fresh faced, bright eyed, bushy tailed for the New England Patriots.
He's healthy. I mean,
yeah,
Will Campbell. We need the Kelvin Bay. All of them. We need everybody. Every lineman available. Somebody. T. Higgins. Take our bag. Let's go.
And then the question is, will this be the last game for Mike McCarthy on the sideline? There's a lot of potential last games
on Sunday.
Aaron Rodgers too.
Talking about maybe being his last game.
Yeah.
Devontae Adams.
He said he's going to make the decision. Well, it's not going to be Devontae Adams' last game. It's going to be his last game as a Jet.
Right.
Can't believe
it. The funny meme from, I don't know if you guys saw the funny meme going around of like, remember how they had that super sneaky reveal that he was coming on Pat's show? And it was like, oh, this great big secret reveal just to go 2-8.
2-8, right?
Typical. Yeah. Typical of the New York Jets.
And they had no Pro Bowlers either, right? No Pro Bowlers on the Jets.
That's all that talent. How the hell is there not a single Pro Bowler?
I have no idea.
What's in the game? But the Giants have one. They got Dexter Lawrence. He deserved it. That's how good he was. He hasn't played for the last month, and he's a Pro Bowler. He's unbelievable. All right, so next hour, well, Damian Woody's going to join us. So, Chris, you and I will both have misery. Company in our misery.
Yes.
How about that?
Yes, sir.
Former Jet, former Patriot, Damian Woody from ESPN is about to join us. We'll chop up some ball with him. And then we'll talk about those Pro Bowl rosters as well. And here's Damian Woody next right here on The Rich Eisen Show. Well, anyway, we're back with our final hour of our Thursday show coming up.
Hey, it's Rich Eisen here. Join me and my compadre, Chris Brockman, every Monday on the Overreaction Monday podcast.
You're also saying the record's going to go down.
I'm saying the record's going down anyway.
I don't think you're off on this at all. Like, you're spot on here. I don't think this is an overreaction because we have no idea what we're reacting to.
Come react or overreact with us.
Overreaction Monday. Follow and listen on your favorite platform.
It's game over.
Over, man.